Good morning, good morning. It's Wednesday, and this is where we share stories that heal. I am just so honored because my friend, my mentor, someone I look up to, is joining us today, and that's Annette Stanwyck. Welcome, Annette.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here with you on your great program, Stories That Heal.
I love it so much. And you know what? Please, if you're there, grab a coffee because we always have a coffee. This is a very relaxing
And
show,
refreshing.
right? Conversation, relaxing conversation where we sip on the coffee and we just speak from the heart. Today, before we started, Darlene and I shared that we're gonna just listen with a heart, with ears. And as you listen, that's what I challenge you to listen with a heart of ears, because I'm telling you, our guest today, oh my goodness. I'll let Darlene introduce our guest.
Okay. So Annette, a speaker, author, and freedom facilitator and coach. So Annette is has decades of experience as a healthcare executive. She's no stranger to painful experiences, but her positive attitude and deep faith has sustained her through many difficulties. Her heart-to-heart message inspires, encourages, and uplifts others to a more fulfilling life of joy, freedom, and peace. Her award-winning and best-selling book, Forgiveness, The Mystery and the Miracle, is having global impact. Wow, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank
Annette, welcome. And please, our friends, if you have not read Annette's book, please get a copy. It's a life-changing book.
Should I
And
show it?
there it is. Yes,
There
please show
it
it. Forgiveness, the Mystery and Miracle
Yeah.
by Annette. Oh, finding freedom and peace at last.
Wow.
Wow. Annette, thank you so much for pouring your heart and writing that book. I've read that book. I've shared with my friends. I've bought gifts of your book. And I'm always saying, please, if you haven't read about it, please grab a copy. And Annette will tell us more about the book and where we can grab it. However, today I'm honored. We are honored and humbled to have Annette. Welcome, Annette.
Thank you. I'm so happy and honored to be here.
That's amazing. So this is Stories That Heal, and Annette is going to share a really powerful story. And I don't even want to spoil it, Annette, because when you shared with me my heart was so blessed because of the story. And I'm hoping our listeners and our viewers will be blessed by this. Annette, just briefly describe before the loss, sorry, briefly describe life before the loss you'll share with us today.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, one thing I do need to mention to you and your listening audience is that this is not my story. This is not my story, but my brother Rick and his wife Deb shared this story with me a few weeks ago, and I was so touched by the story, I wrote it up. And then they put me in touch with Kelsey, and Kelsey is the one that this story is about. And I want you to know that Rick and Deb and Kelsey have all read this story and have input into it, and they have given me permission to share Kelsey's their story. So I really feel humbled and honored that they want the story to be shared because it is an important story. To begin with, Kelsey had been charged and had been in prison due to addiction and selling drugs. She'd been there several times. Regrettably, during her incarceration, her father died in a very, very difficult incident, and that was really hard for her. Kelsey's dad, Carrie, and a male friend had been camping up in the mountains they had gone up there in a pickup and had a four-wheel drive, and their truck, the battery on their truck went dead. So Carrie, Kelsey's father, got on his four-wheel drive and started driving around in the mountains to see if he could find someone that could help them with their dead battery. Unfortunately, he got stuck in a swamp and couldn't get out. And knowing that when you get lost, it's sometimes really important to just stay put. Carrie, Kelsey's dad, stayed there where his four-wheel drive was, hoping that someone would come by. Carrie, Kelsey's dad, was also diabetic, and he did not have anything with him on the four-wheel drive in case a diabetic incident occurred. And unfortunately, and he didn't return to the campsite. And so his friend started hiking out. The truck was dead. So his friend started hiking out to try and get help and to contact police. Well, they had seven search crews that went out searching for Carrie, Kelsey's dad. And after a few days, they found his body near the swamp where his four-wheel drive had gotten stuck. And he was deceased there on a rock by the swamp. Well, a funeral service was held for Carrie, but because Kelsey was in prison, she was not allowed to attend his funeral. She was devastated, she was heartbroken, and she was angry because she wanted to be there. But of course, part of the deal when you're in prison is you don't get to go out and attend funerals. So Kelsey not only had lost her dad, but due to her drug addiction and incarceration, she had experienced numerous other losses, so many losses, not just the loss of her dad. If you can imagine, yes, her father died due to a tragic incident. And her father, she was really close to, but they'd been estranged because of her drug addiction and her imprisonment. And not only did she lose her father, but she lost her ability to say goodbye to her dad. And she'd also lost her ability to bridge the gap or to heal the wound that occurred between her and her dad because of her addiction and her incarceration. Now, you know, that's the loss of her dad. But then, as a result of her drug addiction and incarceration, Kelsey lost so many other things. She lost self-esteem. She lost her integrity. She lost self-control. She lost many relationships. Relationships were destroyed because she betrayed so many people. She lost many friends due to overdoses. She'd lost trustworthiness. People didn't trust her because she betrayed their trust. She lost her freedom when she went to jail. Kelsey deeply grieved the loss of her dad's life and her inability to say goodbye, but she felt so powerless in being able to voice her regret to her father. Kelsey's recovery from an 8-year addiction wasn't easy, and she had many pitfalls and relapses along the way, and arrests and charges that just layered on top of her addiction. I know one of the questions you've asked me is, what's one thing that helped Kelsey cope with the loss? And, you know, support was the most profound, thing that helped Kelsey cope with her loss. and to find healing. And I'm going to try to enumerate some because there was so much support that came to her. First of all, not wanting Kelsey to be alone on the day of her dad's funeral, Deb, Kelsey's grandmother, drove hundreds of miles to be with Kelsey where she was in prison. She took a folder full of newspaper clippings and pictures to share with Kelsey about the, you know, them looking for him and where they'd found him, all of those stories. And together she spent several hours with Kelsey in prison, having their own type of memorial service. Her grandmother Deb and my brother Rick, of course, were disappointed and sometimes pretty discouraged because of Kelsey's life. She'd have her ups and downs and ins and outs and struggles. And every time she came out, they would change the locks on their doors because, you know, she had betrayed them several times. They continually set boundaries and limits and expectations. But unfortunately, the life of addictions often results in betrayals. After Kelsey was released from prison, she gave birth to a little boy. And you know, that little boy changed Kelsey's life. She didn't want her little boy to be harmed by herself. And she got hold of her life and her addiction and began to improve. And when she came out of prison, there were some court guidelines, drug court guidelines that she had to follow. And she was determined to follow them. In the meantime, Rick, my brother, and Deb, his wife, had moved out of their small home because they were retiring and they wanted to travel, and they bought an acreage here or there so that they could live in the mountains or they could live in Arizona. And they took a huge chance on Kelsey. They actually emboldened their trust of her. And they allowed her to move into their lovely little home. Of course, they had to set some boundaries and expectations and standards, but Kelsey has done so much to live up to what the trust that they have placed in her. With deep compassion for her grief and pain, and she continued to, Kelsey continued to maintain the standards and expectations and guidelines set for her from the drug court. She had to attend counseling sessions every week. And she, you know, there were some very stringent guidelines, but also what Rick and Deb had placed on her as well. With deep compassion, because Kelsey was struggling with the loss of her father, Rick and Deb went to the police and pleaded with them to find out where Carrie's body had been found. And through some due diligence about Rick and Deb, who were they and could they be trusted, they finally gave the coroner permission to give them the latitude and longitude of exactly where Carrie's body had been found. Also, Kelsey went to her parole officer, and she too wanted to go and find the place where her father had passed away. And she had to get special permission to leave the county where she was living to go up into the mountains to find the place where her father had passed away. And the parole officer finally gave her permission. Well, precisely 1 year from the date that Carrie passed away, they took four-wheel, they took four-wheel drive vehicles up into the mountains, and for hours they searched until they found the exact precise location where his body had been found. And believe it or not, in right there at that swamp, Kelsey found a piece of her father's four-wheel drive vehicle. She recognized it because she knew the color of his four-wheel drive. You can imagine what a stunning experience that was. And then Kelsey went and sat on the exact rock where her father's body was located. She said she wept. She wept and wept. Before going up into the mountains, Deb had created a beautiful stepping stone with Kelsey's name and some information about Kelsey, and Carrie's name and some information about him. And she brought that stepping stone along. And so together with the stepping stone and the piece of the four-wheel drive, they placed those items on the roots of a stump that was right nearby where Carrie's body had been found. Kelsey carefully crafted, engraved her initials and her father's initials in a tree nearby that will be a lasting memorial. Though this profound and tough experience happened a full year after Carrie's death, the journey of locating that exact spot and finding the pieces that they found was such a significant memento of his struggles and final demise that the three of them had actually entered into Carrie's experience of his death. They traveled a few miles away and found the campsite where Carrie and his camping friend had located, had been staying. And there, in the ashes of the firebox, they found some of Carrie's diabetic test strips and his insulin syringes. So they knew that was the exact spot where they'd been camping. You know, they were each able to process their own grief in such remarkable ways. Those were tangible ways that will forever be unforgettable for Kelsey, for Deb, and for Rick.
Thank you for sharing that incredible story. And just, I think the power of being able to say goodbye and to have that completion, right?
Yes.
Is so, so important when we want to process and walk through. So that's an amazing, kind of unbelievable story about how one family, right, was able to process and say goodbye in a way that meant so much to them.
It was an extraordinary effort, extraordinary effort. And when they came back after that experience, my brother Rick contacted the police department and told the story and the positive outcome that it had been for Kelsey and for them as well. And the police officer that he was talking to became quite emotional on the phone and said, "I am going to share this story with the rest of our police department." And when Kelsey shared the story with her parole officer, they too were very, very thrilled that it had been so helpful to them all. You know, their humanity was just, and their support was amazing. There was a vast array of support for Kelsey in providing this kind of healing for her. I'm sure you're wondering what Kelsey's life is like now.
Yes.
And that's a really good question. Kelsey is now living a drug-free life. She's living in her grandparents' home. Mm-hmm. She's looking after it impeccably. and never, I mean, she's meeting the expectations and standards that they have set. She's meeting the guidelines set by the drug court. Her son is growing. She loves him and she has a job. You know, it's amazing how her life has changed. She said to me on the phone, and she and I've talked two or three times. She said, even though that was a really tough, tough experience, she said it was, and it was almost too good to be true at what it was that we found. She said, it has helped me so much in dealing with my grief and with my regrets. And she said, I really believe that my grief will be a long, lifelong journey. Being able to say goodbye did bring healing and peace to me. You know, something that I shared with her, and I think it's really important that when we can share our pain with others, when we can share our stories of pain and grief with others, it somehow dignifies our pain. And I believe that her story, Kelsey's story, is helpful to others. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, my husband and I were with a group of women recovering from addiction, incarceration, and sexual exploitation. We spend time with them every month. And I shared Kelsey's story. And those women were astonished. They were inspired. They were emotional. They said it came at just the right time for some of them. For some of them, it gave them ideas because they too had to find ways to process some of their own grief and regrets. They felt comforted and grateful that Kelsey has been able to rise above the past and is making a new life for them, for herself. So that gave them courage also. It gave them ideas. Truly the support, you know, truly the support has been a gateway to healing the addiction and the grief that Kelsey has experienced as the loss of her dad.
Yeah, which also was, it's so important. We can't go through grief alone.
No,
we need connection. We need to have somebody hear our voice, hear our pain. And that's what brings healing, is that connection with people. And you're right, we can't overcome alone. Grief, we can't. We were never meant to grieve alone. We were meant to grieve in the community.
And you know, the things that have happened, the things that Kelsey has done, those things are in the past. She can't change it. Mm-hmm. What's past is past. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she's moving forward making huge strides, mm-hmm, and taking charge of her own life, mm-hmm, doesn't mean that every day is easy. But she really is doing so well. And Rick, I just talked with Rick and Deb last week. They are so proud of her. In fact, Rick told me that he is there as he and his wife are traveling around. He said sometimes in the mail, there will be some checks that come. And they have Kelsey take them to the bank and deposit them. And he said, there's not one penny out of order. It's, you know, it's just wonderful too, because she is responding to the trust. She is responding to the trust, and she's rising above what has happened.
Well, that's such a great story.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that story and for encouraging, right, not to give up on on the people in our lives, right? And that your support, it may seem that you have to do it over and over, right? But not giving up and continue to try to support, and it can make a difference in people's lives.
That's right. That's right.
And also healing, right? We know people are in pain, and a lot of the times they're doing things out of pain, but when they can find that healing, when we can help them create that space where they
That's
can
right.
be heard, their voice can be heard, they can be supported, it gives them that way to process so they can move forward. It's a non-peace.
Yeah, and then, you know, by Rick and Deb going to such extensive efforts to help her heal, you know, I just really affirm them in what they've done to help Kelsey. I think it's just amazing. But also, Kelsey is honoring that support. So, you know, it's, I think it's just a phenomenal story that that should be bring a lot of encouragement to others that may be struggling.
Yeah, and just a reminder, it probably brought hope to Rick and them too, right? It gave them ways to process that grief and even to connect with the grief of addiction and process. So loss happens, right? It's not just one death. That death impacted a whole bunch of losses that actually were all, it's kind of like that chain reaction. One kind of gets healed and that affects the next one and the next one. And
that's right. Yeah, it's it was very powerful for them as well. And then for them to be able to close the loop with the police station, you know, those police officers, they dug deep in relate with their due diligence. You know, should we be giving this information out? But then they went back and said how positive that was. So that encouraged the police department as well in being supportive.
Oh, Annette, I was just busy writing my notes. And as you started, I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to capture everything. Annette, you know, I just love the way you named all the losses Kelsey went through, like all the losses and the pile, like it's one after another loss. And just you sharing, the biggest thing was the support she got.
Yes.
And
yes.
not only the support from her parents, Annette, I want to assure you, you are also her support system. To be able to take her story and share with us, huge support, huge support. And thank you for doing that. And this is where I'm sure it's because you listen with your heart and with ears, like as we like to say. And that's how you are able to grab that story and share with us. And we want to say thank you for doing that for us, but also for Kelsey. Because sometimes when we have all these losses piling up, we feel that we're not heard. Nobody has the time to listen without fixing us. And what you did for her is listen without fixing, analyzing, or judging, but just being there and loving her for who she is. And that promotes huge heal. Huge heal, right? So my
Certainly.
Heart is so blessed right now.
Thank you. And I really affirmed Kelsey. I really affirmed her in the work that she's been doing and the strength that it takes for her because of the work that we do with women that are recovering from addiction. We've been doing for more than 3 years now. We understand the struggles that they have, the struggles, but she is rising up, and I just affirm her and love her and encourage her and uplift her. And in sharing this story, I wanted to dignify her experience. You know, I don't have a need to judge or criticize her or put her down. The reality is of, you know, what happens with in addiction, but it's and incarceration. But for her to be able to muster the courage, muster the strength to rise above and take hold of her life is so remarkable. And she says she will not tell any of her friends that she had been, you know, associating with during the drug dealing and, you know, all the episodes. She's not telling anybody where she lives because she doesn't want to go back into those kind of relationships. So it's a new life. It's a totally new life for her. And support was the gateway. Support was the gateway to her addiction and grief recovery that will be ongoing. And you know, in the things that you have shared on your broadcasts and your podcasts, and you've said that there are so many losses, not just death of a loved one. And I think Kelsey's story shows that.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. It is so true. And one loss is always connected to others. So sometimes when we have one loss, it's not just that. We're more way more complicated and feel way more things. And so there's one loss actually turns into many losses. And it takes us, yeah, it takes tools and things to help us process all the losses, not just the one.
And you know, I asked her that question. I asked her the question, Kelsey, what have you lost in this whole experience? Not just the loss of your dad. And she was able to list the things that she lost. And that acknowledgement helps the healing as well, that she was able to acknowledge the things that she's lost.
That's such an important part of the process.
It is.
Acknowledging
Darlene,
those losses. And yeah. And being heard and validated on those are yeah. losses in our lives.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what we can do for people in our lives. We can be the person that listens. We can be the person that asks them, what have they lost?
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
can be the person that validates and supports them. And so thank you for not even being, that's another encouragement, is just to encourage people to be that person for other people.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
I just don't even want you to go away, you know. Like, I just want us to keep talking. I'm like, Annette, the work you do, even the work we do with the ladies, saving mom and their stories, you're a blessing to this world to be that person that people can share with. Because you just embrace it, and oh my goodness. I just have to share one thing that hit me, like my biggest takeaway here, is Kelsey being able to say goodbye. That was huge, because that is, some of you have heard about my personal story about my dad not being able to say goodbye,
yeah.
which led me to doing the work I do. That is the biggest thing, to be able to say goodbye. And to go back, like her putting her initials on that tree.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we can get
stuck.
This
gives me goosebumps.
Right? Yes. Because sometimes we can get stuck, or the healing doesn't happen because we haven't left.
Yes.
It's like the heavy backpack. We are carrying it with us, and there's no way out because it's so heavy we can't hear. However, when we have an experience where we are able to say goodbye and go back, we unload, then we're able to start living without the heaviness. Thank you for that reminder for us. And that's huge. And I want to encourage our viewers, friends who are listening, please remember that, because when it's so heavy, how do we heal? It's too heavy. We don't even have room. So find a way to be able to say goodbye and load the backpack so that you can move fully, because there's hope. Look at what happened to Kelsey. Now living, taking care of, you know, I love this story so much. I could tell you.
But you know, something else that it does is it helped to answer so many questions that she had. So many questions about where it happened, why it happened. And by going, you know, and it's important to find answers to questions. It may be about talking to people that knew our loved one, or had, you know, knew something that we didn't know. That's the beauty of having services where people come together, because they share stories that you wouldn't know in any other way. But yeah, she found so many answers that helped her to deal with the loss of her dad.
So powerful, Annette.
Yes.
So powerful. Oh my goodness. Do you have a last comment, Annette? Because this is just so good.
Well, you know, I think probably the most important thing is that when we can share our stories and when we listen to stories, we should listen without judgment or criticism. And I think that helped Kelsey to open up. It helped. No judgment or criticism, just listen with an open heart. And as you call it, a heart with ears. Open our heart to hear what it is that people are going through. But when we can share our stories of pain and grief with others, it can dignify our own pain. And Kelsey, knowing that I was sharing the story with the women in recovery from addiction and that I was going to be sharing with you, it dignifies her pain. There was no way that I wanted to put her down or make her sound like a horrible person, because most of these people are not horrible people. They've just had some tough experiences and made maybe some negative choices. But when all is said and done, they have deep hearts. And I've found that deep heart in Kelsey.
It's beautiful, beautiful. And that's what keeps us going. We love stories that heal, because yes, we truly believe stories do heal. And Annette, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing. We'll be sharing some information. And if someone out there has heard your story and they would love to connect with you, how would they do that, Annette?
You know, one of the best ways to connect with me is to send me a text message. Mm-hmm. To my cell phone, 403-620-8165, or send me an email to astanwyck@me.com. astanwyck@me.com. And I'll love to connect with you. I'd love to talk with you. And if you'd like a copy of my book, send me a message and I'll be happy to send a book to you. Because this book, Forgiveness, the Mystery and Miracle, is helping a lot of people. It's not just an amazing story. It has a healing process woven throughout the book that helps people to process their own struggles and pain.
Oh, I tell you, want to connect with Annette, and we'll be sharing that information with everybody. Annette is one of my friends and our friends, and I have her on my speed dial. You want Annette on your speed dial, okay? Thank you, Annette. Until next time, be blessed and thank you again. Just humbled that you could share that story with us, and we'll be thinking of Kelsey and that baby and the family.
And I want to thank Kelsey and Rick and Deb for their willingness that this story be shared, because I think that will help other people heal. And thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your program today. Hi. It's an honor.
Okay.
Thank you so much.